Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Captive Audience Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
You could call it that. We get some interesting mail.
We certainly do.
This is a letter we got from a listener named only Jack.
Uh-huh.
Dear Click and Clack, I'm a prisoner in the Florida Department of Corrections. Like Tommy, I had an old Rust Bucket clunker, an Austin Healey Sprite. Like Tommy, I spent more time under the hood and under the car than in it.
Yes, indeed.
One day, I got the brilliant idea to steal the car and collect the insurance. Parenthesis, see return address for ultimate results. Yeah, I see it. Anyway, my plan was to relieve myself of the car and gain some filthy lucre in the process. Living in Miami at the time, I thought I would disappear the car.
I like that term.
By driving it into one of the many canals in the area. My back still hurts. You wouldn't believe the force of the water, which stopped the car like a floor stops a falling egg.
That's true.
You also wouldn't believe how long an Austin Healey Sprite will float. As if floating there with my back killing me wasn't enough, I later discovered my insurance didn't cover theft.
Oh, good.
Anyway, I was wondering, for sharing my story, can I get an autographed photo of you guys to hang in my cell?
Oh, sure, of course you could. I see, why not?
If so, please attach it at the bottom of an Ingersoll Rand Model 256C tunnel excavator with auto dirt removal and electric start, or a Husqvarna combo concrete and steel saw with 14-inch diamond-coated blade. Don't worry about the warranty. I gotta hurry and close this letter as the guy in the cell next to mine is the resident snitch, and it's lights out. Sincerely, Jack.
Husqvarna combo concrete and steel saw. I love it. Well, look, if you've got a question about your car or what to do with it, give us a call. Jack obviously knew what to do with his.
Well, he thought he did. It probably seemed like an excellent idea at the time.
Yeah, it is amazing how long cars float before they go down. Anyway.
And how hard it is to drive into the water.
Boom! Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Elizabeth from Richmond, Virginia.
Elizabeth.
I have a 97 Nissan Sentra, and it has a very interesting problem. The air conditioning only works when I don't really need it.
Ah!
If it's about 70 degrees, the air conditioning works great, blows out 40-degree air. If it's in the 90s, the air conditioning will not work.
Yeah. When you say it will not work, it blows air.
You can turn the vent on, but if you push the air conditioning button, the air doesn't get any colder.
Right.
Right.
This is the icicles in winter problem.
That's what I call it, too.
Well, you see, when it's 70 degrees out, it doesn't have to do much to refrigerate the air and make you think that it's really working.
Okay.
But when it's 90 or above, it's going to really do some serious refrigerating.
Right.
Why is it refrigerating? Isn't it just refrigerating?
Yeah, you're not re-anything. We've discussed this at great length in the past. Re-what? Refrigerating what?
Yeah. It's like rewiring. We're building a new house and we're rewiring it. No, you're going to wire the house.
You're right, and you're going to refrigerate the air.
I think so. All right, well, now that I get that off my chest.
It's working just as well. At any temperature, it's doing exactly what it can do.
Except it can't keep up at 90 because you don't have enough, ready for this, refrigerant.
Refrigerant.
No. So you probably need a recharge. In other words, the compressor is working, but it's just not making enough cold.
Okay, so how do I fix this problem?
Oh, you go to an air conditioner place.
The air conditioner place.
Yeah,
the air conditioner
and they'll
place.
Determine that you either need a recharge.
Okay.
Because you don't have enough.
Or a charge.
Or a charge, or you need a compressor.
Yeah, I think you just need to be recharged, which means the refrigerant that's in there is low. It leaks out after a while.
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't. I mean, in an ideal world, the stuff that was put in at the factory should last for 10 years or more.
Yeah, but if this problem has continued for a long time, it means you have a very, very slow leak somewhere.
Okay.
That would be...
So now that the summer's all over, why are you bothering?
She's not going to bother.
Where were you 3 months ago?
Well, you're not going to bother until next year, right?
There are many, many hot weeks left in Richmond, Virginia.
This is true.
So get on it.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for all your help.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227.
A possible right answer.
Don't get carried away. 8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tricia from Louisville.
Tricia.
What's going on, Tricia?
All right, here's my question. I just moved here, started dating this guy, and things were going well. I liked him. He seemed like me. He's cute. And one night, we switched cars, meaning he was driving my car, which is an MR2 Toyota 2000, and I was driving his car, which is a 1997 Camry. Well, I hit my car.
You hit your car.
I rear-ended.
So you, with driving his Camry, you hit your MR2.
I did. I was switching the radio station, looked up, and he had stopped, and I just plowed into
him. Did he get hurt?
No. Thank God. Neither one of us got hurt.
And why did he just stop? We stopped in the middle of the road?
Well, there was a stoplight.
Stoplight.
Ah, yeah. Those pesky little things.
Okay.
Okay, so you rear-ended him.
Yes. His car is now totaled.
The Camry.
But you really rear-ended you, but you were driving his car. Yes. This is going to get very confusing.
It's going to get very confusing.
Okay.
And, of course, now the relationship is totaled, too.
Oh, really?
Is it really?
Now he wants me to pay his deductible, and I need some ethical advice.
From us?
I know. Can you believe that?
Ethical?
All right. How much is the deductible?
$500.
Right.
I have offered to pay for his rental car for 5 days.
Jeez.
So he wants you to pay $500. I mean, there's no question that you owe him the $500. I mean, you were driving. You caused the accident.
I was, but the problem is that I was hoping, of course, he could go through my insurance. Well, the insurance company has never heard of this happening before in their lives.
Really?
No.
Well, I think they ought to go right to the Supreme Court with it because they'll learn something from it.
Well, they don't want to do that because I'm an attorney. I know. The plot thickens.
The plot certainly thickens, especially the ethics part of it.
I know.
Jeez. What do you feel, Tricia?
Well, I guess to tell you the truth, I feel like if we were still dating, I would have paid him. But considering that he just sort of unceremoniously dumped me, I'm thinking...
Did he dump you that night?
No, but it was very clear after that night that there would be...
It was cold.
No more romance.
It was chilly, huh?
It was very chilly.
And now it's icy, eh?
Oh, now it's ice age.
Yeah.
It's a glacier.
Jeez.
It's a glacier. Gee, yeah. It's just as well, because if this were going anywhere... A mere car wouldn't have made, and a Camry, I mean, come on, they're a dime a dozen.
And he has already bought a new car.
Yeah. I mean, that would not have made any difference to him.
Yeah, I would send him a check for $500, say, and with a little note that says, this is the best $500 I ever spent to find out who you really are.
Okay.
No, I don't think you need to go, I don't think you need, he knows.
I could just send a note without the check.
But the check is in the
whatever
mail.
It's the best $500 you could have spent on this guy.
So you don't think that it's just enough to offer to pay rental car for a little bit?
Well, on the other hand, don't forget, you're a lawyer. You could claim that his brakes failed.
That's right. As a lawyer, you don't have to worry about ethics at all.
Well, hey, that's why I called you, because I don't have any.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was your fault.
Yeah, I know. No, it truly was my fault.
And you owe him the $500.
No, but the $500 is irrelevant. I mean, you can afford the $500. You're going to have to afford it.
Okay.
But the fact of the matter is that you have gained so much information about who this guy is, much more than $500 worth.
I mean, you could have wasted several years of your life. Do you realize that?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean...
Years. I mean, you could have wasted years before this came out. I mean, if I... was going to dump my wife just because of cars that she smashed up. I mean,
so you got, you'd be
oh yeah,
sure. Splitsville.
But it never made any difference to me. She smashes him up. I say,
okay.
Keep driving,
puts,
baby.
And he puts the Bondo on.
Yeah, no, well, that's too bad.
Yeah,
be happy. You got, it's only $500.
All right. Well, I will take your advice under advisement.
Good luck, Trish. I'm sure you'll find the right person. And you know, this is a good test. It's like getting somebody drunk.
In fact, you should do this every time you meet somebody.
No, don't. I can't. My car can't stand it.
No, don't involve your car. Drive his car and drive into a tree. And if he says that's all right, don't worry about it. He's the guy for you.
Okay.
Good luck, Tricia.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, fellas. This is Andy calling from Los Angeles.
What's happening, man?
Well, we got a three-party dispute that I'm hoping you guys can settle concerning thermodynamics.
Great. is thermodynamics related to cattle trailer brakes? Thermo, okay.
Well, I'm getting ready to buy a new car, and a discussion arose as to color selection. Specifically, what interior and exterior color combinations would help keep the car cool when it's been baking in the sun in the summertime?
Well, I know enough about thermodynamics to tell you that this question has nothing to do with thermodynamics.
Well,
but that's okay.
No, more fluid dynamics.
Well, you went to MIT, so I'm not going to argue with
it doesn't,
that.
But... It doesn't matter.
Well,
it doesn't
so matter. Anyway, so there are three. You have three differing opinions, obviously, here.
Yes, yes. It is my opinion that a light interior is going to stay coolest, and the exterior color of the car doesn't matter at all. My friend, the former actor, says the exact opposite, that the exterior color, if it's a light exterior color, that's what's going to keep the car cool, and the interior color doesn't matter.
No kidding.
And my pregnant wife, she says we're both wrong.
And she's right so far, I'll tell you that.
that if I just keep the windows cracked open, the colors aren't going to matter at all, and the inside of the car is going to...
And she's wrong, too. All three of you are wrong.
No, we're all wrong.
Yeah, you're all wrong.
Well, I think. What the heck do I know?
Well, we know. We know something.
Well,
I mean, all we know is the same thing that you know, and that is that lighter colors reflect better than darker colors. Dark colors suck up heat. Black, for example. If you have a black car with black seats and black carpeting...
Oh, the temperature in that car is within 5 degrees
of the sun.
Of the temperature of the surface of the sun. Exactly right. In fact,
right.
You park two of those together, you're going to have a nuclear explosion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we know that much. And my guess is that a car with light interior and a light-colored car are going to be the coolest.
Well, those are easy, but what about if you have a light car with a dark interior, vice versa, between those two?
Oh, I think
the
interior lightness would be the primary factor, I think.
Yeah, I would go along with that.
Yeah, don't forget, you ain't sitting on the hood. You're sitting inside. And every dark car I've ever gotten into has been hotter in hell. And you can certainly verify this. You can go to your local, what are you thinking of buying, a nice Mazda or something?
Looking at an Acura TSX.
Oh, yeah. There you go. I've just been test driving one.
What'd you think?
I loved it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's a wonderful car.
What color is it, the one you got?
Blue with a black interior.
Blue with a black interior. How is it in the sun?
I'm dying in there. But obviously cracking the windows helps. But here's the experiment I would do. I'd go to the dealer, and they're going to have every combination perhaps under the sun. You go with a bunch. You buy a bunch of those thermometers at the, you know, the kind you hang in your oven, and you find four of these that are parked in the sun, and you pop the thermometer on the console of every one, and you go and you read the temperature.
Yeah.
And I bet you they're not going to vary a whole lot. But what is going to be hottest is whenever one of those black seats is in direct sunlight,
and
if you ever worn Bermuda shorts. And sat down.
Oh, you can fry your thigh.
Yeah.
You can.
So I think the interior temperature is not going to differ a whole lot from car to car.
So there's no sort of like greenhouse effect that's going on that kind of nullifies the color interior?
What's the greenhouse effect going
on? Well, the heat comes in and keeps bouncing in and off the windows so that it kind of reaches a peak temperature and then can't get any hotter than that?
Clouds start to form inside the car. Yeah, of course.
The trouble is that with a black interior, the heat isn't bouncing around all that much. It's going to go in and the black seats are going to suck it right up.
Mm-hmm. But see, the white reflects the radiation of the sun, and the black absorbs it all, but radiates a different wavelength of radiation. I'm getting in trouble here. Save you, will you?
Yeah, well, you went to MIT.
It was a long time ago.
It doesn't matter. You never forget thermodynamics.
No, I'm on the right track, but I just don't remember all the nomenclature.
Yeah.
But I think the advice of getting, you know, those oven thermometers, which are only a couple of bucks, might provide a valuable piece of information for
you. And if you do a little research like that, we would love to hear about it.
Okay.
Yeah, well,
because who knows? We could be completely wrong.
But who knows? Everybody knows. See you, Andy.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, it's time to ask the age-old question. Hey, sponge for brains. Hey, do you remember anything about last week's puzzler? I mean, anything, just any little morsel.
Last week's puzzle. Hold on a minute. Did it have something to do with the park bench, newspapers, and a charge of loitering?
No. That was your day off yesterday. Puzzler's on vacation, man.
Of course. How could I forget?
But not to worry. We'll be back with more of your calls and an enlightening lesson in vocabulary in just a minute.
If 150, I got a call. Good friend of mine down at the pool hall. Come get your old man. He's chasing women. I trust his old truck more than I trust my man. Drunk again, he's got a lipstick grin. I throw him in the bag. Take him home, tuck him in, leave him in the dark. F-150 parked all alone. I'll check your engine, I'll shine your chrome. Out in the driveway early a.m. I'd rather spend my time with you than spend it with my man.
And even though the FBI starts a least wanted list whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and some new vocabulary.
Well, actually, I'm going to give you a little quiz. You have lived in Boston pretty much your whole life. Is that true?
Well, not yet.
Not yet. Aside from not yet.
So far.
I'm going to give you some Boston words.
Bostonisms?
Bostonisms, and you tell me what they mean. Okay?
Okay.
I'll just spell it for you, and you'll have to figure it out from there.
Okay, go ahead.
F-L-A-H-W-I-Z.
F-L-A-H-W.
I'll help you.
Yeah.
You know, roses.
Oh, flowers.
Flowers. You
got it? I got it.
All right, how about this one?
Flowers. Yeah, okay, I'll get the hang of it.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
H-A-H-P-A-H-S-T. Got it? H-A-H-P-A-H-S-T.
Half past. Half past.
30 minutes after the hour. Yeah. That's correct. Okay. How about this one? You may know this one right away. K-H-A-K-I-S.
K-H-A. Khakis.
What does it mean? Pants?
No, the things you start the car with.
That's exactly right. Okay, well, I'll give you one more here. Y-I-Z.
Y-I-Z.
I'll give you a hint.
Yeah?
It's a plural. Plural of you.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, I like the use better.
Use, yeah. I didn't know how to spell that. I like the cockies. Compost. Flowers.
Flowers, yeah. No, I wouldn't have gotten that one because it was the first one.
But we have a strange way of talking here in our fair city.
Well, we do. And, wow. And we're hardly that representative of it. I mean...
No. It gets worse than this.
If you think we're bad, you should come here for a visit.
Come to Salty for a while.
Well, look, if you think your brain is beginning to atrophy, like my brother's, then stay tuned. We'll give you complete instructions on how to find a brain-toning puzzler in the third half of the show today.
Right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK, which also happens to spell 888 Absolvable. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hi, my name is Travis Keller. I'm from Washington, D.C.
Travis?
That's correct.
And Travis. You're from Washington, D.C.
And you're not a lawyer or a politician?
No, I'm a carpenter, actually.
A carpenter?
What do carpenters get an hour in D.C.?
I don't know. I'm supposed to be there right now. I kind of slipped out, left the saw running. I make about $20 an hour.
$20 an hour.
Yeah. What kind of carpentry do you do?
I do finished carpentry, cabinet install, windows and doors, and trim.
Really?
A lot of crown molding, that kind of thing.
But you work for somebody.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'd be making a lot more.
Yeah.
Right. You should consider, striking out on your own.
Well, my wife brings it up once in a while.
Yeah. Well, striking out, I use the term loosely. Anyway,
I've done that before, yeah.
What's going on?
Well, recently, me and my wife were forced to replace our Honda Civic hatchback with a Subaru Outback. And when I got the Outback, the brakes were squealing a lot. They squealed all the time. And I thought to myself, it's just a little bit of dust in there. It'll clean up and go away, that kind of thing. And then, like a month ago, it just stopped squealing. Everything was fine. Everybody, that had to hear me drive by was happy that I wasn't making sounds anymore. But one of my coworkers said that that's a bad sign, and what it is that they actually put these things in the brakes that are squealers that make noise, and when it stops making noise, it means you're grinding through something very important, like a rotor or something. Yeah. And
nobody likes a squealer.
No. I was glad that they were gone. I saved money in having to buy a stereo.
All right.
Now, was the noise there only when you stepped on the brakes, so you got to
No, sometimes just when I'm driving slow, like in first gear.
Oh.
That doesn't sound good.
Mm. No.
And what did it sound like?
It was just a high-pitched squealing, that kind of thing, yeah.
Was it the same kind of squealing you'd get if you, how about dragging your fingernails over
across a blackboard?
Yeah, it's kind of a steady, long squeal.
Like really annoying?
Yeah, nobody was happy.
Your friend, I'm afraid, is right.
They're called wear sensors.
Uh-huh.
And they're designed to annoy the hell out of you. and to make you...
It's sort of like no one will be able to disregard this sound.
I could.
But when did it stop making noise?
When did it stop? Maybe a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
you got time.
Barely. Well, that wear sensor is, as you might guess, a little reed of metal that is installed as part of the brake pad, and it's designed to start vibrating when you've got about 1/16th of an inch of brake pad left.
I see.
So what happens after that thing vibrates for weeks and weeks, which yours did?
It falls off.
It falls off because it says, hey, if this jerk hasn't heard this by now, I give up.
He deserves everything he
and
gets.
And once it falls off, you have no more warning, but what you do have is 1/16th of an inch of brake pad left.
I see.
And when you've worn that down, now you're metal on metal, and you run the risk of not only ruining the disc rotors, which you will, but also the caliper, because if the caliper piston comes out too far, it can fall out.
I see. Okay, well, there you go.
So I would get the thing into the repair shop ASAP.
I gotcha.
And if you're really lucky, all you'll need is a set of pads.
Okay, well, that'd be good.
And the truth is you have no idea how many miles are on these brakes.
That's true. Yeah, I did buy it used.
So
great.
It's a good idea to get it checked. And they'll find all the other things that are wrong with it, too. The tie rod ends, the ball. That's what you're afraid of. That's why people don't come in. I know that. I know it. And we've been studying this for almost 30 years. And I've found out that the people who have the most wrong with their cars do one of two things. Either they don't come in at all, or when they do come in, they give us the wrong phone number. Now, you may think that that's...
Just an accident.
An accident. It's happened too many times to be an accident.
So these people are really in denial.
You got it.
I never go into the doctor either, same reason. I fall off a ladder, and it's fine.
As long as you're breathing and you know, you're not spitting up blood, you're all right.
Absolutely.
Why, that's bad, spitting up blood?
See you, Travis.
All right, thanks a lot.
Get him checked.
Hey, do you know what time it is?
Time to close the motor oil soaking pool at the garage?
No. It's time to play Dump the Jumps. This is the part of the show where we track down a caller from a previous show to see if that person is still thinking of suing for damages.
So who's our contestant this week?
Marion from New York. You remember her?
No, I'm a few bars. Maybe
Marion
I'll remember.
Marion from New York. Here it is. It says here Marion called us over a year and a half ago because sometimes her Toyota Corolla wouldn't start in the rain. We were having trouble despite the plethora of hints that she gave us. She said she had disabled the cutoff switch that was wired to her rear defroster, you know, one of those anti-theft devices that all the thieves know about. She said her wipers seemed to run slowly when she had other electrical accessories on, and she gave us this hint.
I think this is going to help you, because I came out after 5 minutes in this store, and I went to turn the car on, and it was dead. It was that horrible sound where I turned the key, nothing happened. And then I said, wait a minute, the rear defrost button is still pushed in. So I turned it off, and I turned the key in the ignition, and it started.
Okay, well, that didn't help.
No? I thought you were going to give me an answer.
At least now we know that when you get zilcho when you turn the key,
right,
that it is not because the battery is dead.
Otherwise, it wouldn't have started.
Right.
So we can abandon that whole line of thought.
Okay.
Right. Now, here's the question. What line of thought do we embrace?
Wait a minute.
Do we have a line of thought that we're going to embrace here?
Yeah, we are. So you went on to conclude from that little exchange that the whole rear defroster switch thing was a red herring. You said she needed a new starter motor, and I stupidly agreed with you.
Isn't it grand? Let's see how we did. Marion, are you there? Look, before we find out what actually happened, we need to confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk 5.5 years ago. Is that true?
That's correct.
And that the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or the year's supply of cab chits that we sent you.
That's correct also.
So, Marion, was the defroster switch, in fact, a red herring, or was it the starter motor?
It was a red herring, but it was not the starter motor.
Oh. Well, we get half right.
Well, it turned out, according to my mechanic, he thinks that it was a short in the headlight. So he fixed that, and I actually no longer have the car, but after he fixed that, the problem never happened again. I had lots of other problems, which is why I no longer have the car.
But the headlight stopped working.
a short in the headlight.
A short in the headlight.
Makes no sense.
Really? Well,
yeah.
He had the advantage. He had two advantages. Number one, he had the car in front of him. And number two, he had your credit card. And that's pretty powerful stuff, you know. So I guess we'll have to defer it to him and believe it was really a short in the headlights, but I don't like it.
You don't.
So what are you driving now?
A Subaru Forester.
Oh, that's a nice car, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
You like
yeah.
it?
Yeah, I like it a lot. And it starts in the rain.
It starts in the rain.
No, at least for a while, anyway.
Yeah, right.
Call us in a few years.
I'm sure I will, but for now I'm enjoying it. It's a nice new car.
No, it is a nice car. Thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, Mary.
Sure, no problem.
It was a pleasure to talk to you again.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you happen to hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestions from cartalk.com.
Or you can call and you can stump us right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ginny from Minneapolis.
Ginny with a G?
Ginny with a G, like Virginia.
Yeah, yeah.
Minneapolis.
From Minneapolis.
Yeah, but I don't know that friend of yours up here that you're always
Who
talking
friend?
About.
I have a friend in Minneapolis?
Well, you have some guy you're always talking about.
Les Block, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know him.
I talked to him just yesterday. He knows you.
Well, that's his misfortune.
How are you, Ginny?
I'm fine.
What's up?
I have a 2001 VW Passat wagon, but I don't think my problem really relates to the car. My husband and I were up in northern Wisconsin, and in the evening we were driving, and it was raining pretty hard, and there were all these little frogs out on the road jumping around.
Was it raining frogs?
It's happened a lot of times,
so.
You know?
I guess that's one of my questions for you guys. Why do frogs go out on the road in the rain? I have no idea why that is. In fact, I didn't know they did it before. But my husband and I ended up in a dispute because I wanted him to drive, 5 miles an hour and steer around the frogs so we didn't hit any.
Because you didn't want to croak any of the frogs. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't pass that up, could I?
It crossed my mind. I said, no.
It's too bogus.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what my husband wanted to do was he wanted to drive at 60 because he said that the faster that we got back to our house, that the fewer frogs he'd hit. But it's also possible he just wanted me to shut up talking about not hitting the frogs. But that was his theory. And so I wanted to check with you. That didn't make sense to me.
Well, it's similar to the theory when you're low on gas and you're trying to get someplace. The best strategy is floor it, because then you'll get there as fast as possible, faster, and you won't give the gas time to run out because you'll be going so fast.
Yeah, that was.
And that almost sounds reasonable, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so your husband's nuts.
Well, but why do the frogs go out on the highway?
How many were there? I mean,
well, there was probably like 2 every 100 feet.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Oh, in that case, then you are right. You should have gone at what we call dead slow.
Sure. If there were only 2 every 100 feet, then you could certainly drive around them.
Yeah, and I guess they go out there because that's where the water is. I mean, they want to get wet. It's a good, it's a good time to move because...
What do you mean? There's water every place.
No, not water in the road unless it rains. They want to move from one part. They're relocating. They're moving from one pond to another. They're migrating.
We should preface this discussion by letting you know that we've never even seen a frog. I don't even know what a frog is.
Well, come to Wisconsin, you can see them.
But that never stopped.
And is it frogs that croak or toads that croak?
What, there's a difference?
Well, sure.
Well, frogs live in water and toads live on land. You'll see toads like in your lawn or something, but frogs you see in a pond.
So you know that these things were frogs?
Frogs need to keep wet. Toads.
Wait. She doesn't even know that. Wait a minute. She's not even sure they were frogs.
Yeah, maybe they were toads.
Could they have been dogs?
Well, I think they were frogs by the way that they jumped. You know, they had when you saw one jump off the road, they had comparatively long legs.
Did they have delectable-looking legs?
Yes, they looked delicious.
All right, they're probably frogs then.
Yeah, they looked like, Casey steaks.
We're with you, Jenny. I think you should have gone at the slowest speed.
Dead slow.
Reasonable.
I agree.
And tried to steer around them. I mean, well, I kill the frogs if you don't have to.
We have an amphibian expert here on our staff. As you may recall, our dear... producer Doug Berman is amphibious, and he drives cars through.
Hence the moniker, and slimy. Hence the moniker Frogman.
Frogman Berman. I mean, he must know about frogs.
Yeah, so maybe you should consult him.
If he ever shows up, we'll ask him.
Well, at first, as soon as he gets a chance, he's going to leap right on this. See you, Jenny.
All right, thanks very much, guys. Love your show.
Oh, yeah, we really helped, I'm sure.
Yeah, you helped a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, look, it's time for us to take a little break.
And
you say?
What, pray tell, is the purpose of this particular break? Before I agree to take a break, I'd like to know what its use is going to be.
Well, our stations use the break to issue disclaimers and distance themselves from all the stupid things you said in the last 20 minutes or so. And while they're doing that, we turn off the microphones here in the studio so I can slap you around. Sound good to you?
Okay, then. I think it's great. All I wanted was a good explanation, and that's it. Let's take a break.
All right. Look, when we come back, we'll answer more of your car questions, of course, and my brother will have something to say about knowing even less than nothing.
So don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a minute.
Sometime back about 50 years ago, Vern bought this old pickup just for show. It was a 1931 Ford Model A. It had four yellow wheels, it made his day. But it wasn't very long till his first child came along. So he sold that truck and doubled the price he paid. But when he said goodbye, he had a teardrop in his eye. And the memory lingers on his mind today. Oh, it's all shiny and black, with an old truck bed and back. Ooga, ooga horns and running boards.
And even though Van Gogh kicks himself for not cutting off the other ear, too, whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and quantum theory.
You know, I try to keep abreast of all the new stuff that's going on in quantum theory. Right?
Yes, I do know that.
And actually, I have to admit that this was sent to me by John Raines from cyberspace.
Oh, so you can't claim authorship.
I can't claim authorship. Certainly not. I'm just going to tell you what his note says. This item was titled, Quantum Information Can Be Negative. In a development that would probably even puzzle Claude Shannon. You know who he was?
No.
The information guy. MIT guy.
Oh,
as
yeah?
As a matter of fact. Information can be negative.
Really?
The discovery by Horodecki, Oppenheim, and Winter appears in the leading journal, Nature. If I tell you negative information, you know less. If I give you negative information, you'll know less.
That's what we do.
That's what we do every week. We knew this decades before they did.
No, we didn't know it.
We didn't. No, I guess.
We just did it.
We didn't know it, but we just did.
More importantly, our listeners didn't know it.
If I can give you information which will make you know less.
But you're giving me information, which is something, and yet I know less, which is enough. If you give me enough of it, eventually I'll know nothing.
Exactly.
So too much information can lead to knowing nothing.
As long as it's...
That's why we like to keep our answers...
As long as it's negative information.
Negative. Short, sweet, and wrong.
And we...
By the way, if that discussion hurt your brain, you may need to do a little more mental exercise. And if you want a puzzle to work on, we just happen to have one this week at our website, cartalk.com.
In fact, any week in which we don't have a puzzle, we choose a classic puzzle from the archives for you. And you can go to the website, and boy, oh boy, there are some classics there. Remember the mango tree puzzler, for example? That was one of the high points in your puzzle career, wasn't it?
I got a mango tree right here for you.
You can't do it unless the number is two.
Ah, yes. Well, hey, you know, sometimes you trust and sometimes you...
Yeah,
you know,
well...
You know. Anyway, if you want to call us, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255.
Yeah.
Hello, you're on Car Talk. By the way, I have the courage to admit my mistakes and to stand up and be a man about it. And And you just don't have enough time to, you know, that's what it boils down to. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Julia calling from Boise, Idaho.
Hi, Julia. From Boise.
How are you?
Oh, we're doing great. No, we haven't had a call from Boise in a while.
We have not.
Well, it's a good place to call, let me tell you.
you sound like a fun person.
I hope so.
Upbeat, positive, energetic.
Having a good day, huh?
Well, I'm at my daughter's school, so it's always fun, you know, little two-year-olds running around. So.
You can't wait to get out, can you?
Well, you know.
So what's going on, Julia?
Well, I have a 2000 Volvo V70R, and about 2 months ago, I'm at the gas station, and car's empty, and I try and put the gas nozzle into the opening for the tank and start pumping gas, and... You know, a minute or two later, it clicks off, and I know it's not full. So I try again, and it keeps doing that. So we tried different gas stations. We tried, you know, different manufacturers. And so I end up standing there for 20 minutes trying to get a full tank of gas because it keeps clicking off.
Oh, so this is continuing to happen?
Yes.
Oh, so you can pretty much assume that the problem was with your car.
Yes. Yeah, that's why we tried the different gas stations.
Who's we? You and your two-year-old daughter?
Yeah, well, she's in the car supporting me with crying because she's waiting so long.
So you haven't been able to go anyplace because you can't put any gas in the tank.
Well, I can. It's just that it takes me 20 minutes to get it.
No, what's wrong is that there's part of the evaporative emission control system that is supposed to allow the tank to burp, so to speak, and allow you to put gas in and displace the air that's in there. Because when you take the gas cap off, you'll often hear a, and you'll replace that suction in the tank with air. And now you have to essentially burp the tank, and that vapor has to either get out or you can't get gas in.
And you could probably solve it by not putting the nozzle all the way in.
I've tried that. I've tried turning it to the side. I've tried turning it upside down.
No, you won't. And if, in fact, the pump at the gas station is working correctly, if it doesn't see the right back pressure,
that's the problem.
Then it's going to shut the thing off, because what it's saying to the pump at the gas station is
it's full.
Your tank is full.
Because of the pressure.
Because of the back pressure that's coming up out of out of your tank into the recovery system of the nozzle.
So there's something within my system that is not allowing the air to escape.
Bingo.
You got it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's an easy fix.
They'll know in a minute what to do.
Okay. That sounds great.
See you, Julia. Go back to the little guys.
Okay.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Mike in beautiful Jackson, Missouri.
Hi, Mike in beautiful Jackson, Missouri.
Jackson, Missouri. What's
up,
Mike?
Is that the capital?
No, that's Jefferson.
Oh, Jefferson. I knew it was one of those presidents.
Yeah. It was one of those guys that's on the money.
Jefferson Jackson. Okay, what's up, Mike?
Well, I have a 1992 Ford Explorer. The original transmission went out with 176,000 miles, which was,
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's wonderful.
I had a new one put in, rebuilt, and it lasted 36,000 miles in 15 months.
Really?
So, I went back to the same guy because he had a good reputation, and I thought it might just be a fluke or something. But the next one lasted 4 months and only 8,000 miles.
Mm. Oh, he put another rebuilt one in after 36,000, and it only lasted for four?
For 8,000 miles, 4 months.
I see some kind of prime number series here.
Yeah. So anyway, he told me that the engine in this V6 is actually more powerful than when I drove it off the lot new, because the rings are seated and the valves are happy and, everything's going smooth.
Oh.
Dad, play the thing. Wait a minute.
Oh, gosh.
And it's blowing the transmission because
it's blowing the transmission. Did he say that it was more powerful than a locomotive?
No.
Able to tall buildings in a single bound?
So the premise here is the reason the transmissions are getting destroyed is because the engine, as it gets older, is getting more and more powerful.
Yeah, so I'm wondering how long till it just explodes.
What do you mean explodes? It's going to provide the electricity for the entire city of Jackson.
Well, you're going to back this thing right up to the generator. Oh, God. Is he rebuilding these himself?
Well, he's got a shop there. He's got several people working for him. He's been there for 40 years.
Well, but some transmission shops do buy, you can buy a rebuilt unit and just plunk the thing in there.
No, I believe he's rebuilding them himself.
Well, maybe you should suggest that he buy a rebuilt unit and plunk the thing in there, because he's missing something.
Well, he says these transmissions are too lightweight for the machine.
Did you ask him why the first one lasted for a mere 176,000 miles?
Yeah, that was my question, too.
Well, he had my machine. I didn't want to make him mad,
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this one, what's his position now?
Well, he just told me to take it easy and...
So... Now you've got 8,000 miles on the third transmission, and it's not good?
No, he went ahead and rebuilt it.
He's just admonishing you.
Oh, okay.
To go easy so that you don't blow this one, you.
Right.
You beast, you.
How much more powerful can this engine get?
Yeah. I mean, and does Ford know about this?
If I just park it, will it last longer?
Does the Atomic Energy Commission know about this?
Jeez. Well, yeah, if you did park it, it would probably last longer. But I would say that you have to drive this thing the way you see fit. And I would disregard any of his admonitions.
Okay,
and
so he's just blowing smoke at me, right?
I think so. I mean, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to drive this in the same manner that you drove the first one, which lasted for, you know...
Forever.
For almost enough miles to get you to the moon.
Right, yeah. Right.
So I think you should tell him that, and make sure you have friends with you when you do this. Is he a big guy?
No, he's not, really.
No, all right. No, you gotta
watch out. I don't need too many friends.
Yeah. But tell him that you're disappointed and that you would hope that... When you drive this one in the manner that you're accustomed to driving, that you expect it will perform well.
Okay. How much did you pay this guy?
Well, $800 each time.
$800 each time?
Yeah.
Yeah, well...
This is nowhere near enough money. I mean, that's part of the problem. I mean, he can't give Sudio a rebuilt transmission for $800.
Well, we don't know what the local economy in Jackson Mo is like.
No, I don't care what it is. I mean, how can you get a rebuilt transmission for $800? That includes labor. And that's $600 right there.
Should I write him another check?
I think what he's
doing...
Yeah,
write him another check. Pay him a little more. Maybe he'll do a better job
next time. This guy is going down to the junkyard.
Oh, no, I wouldn't make that accusation.
He's picking up junk transmissions... And he's washing them with soap and water so that they look beautiful. And some of them work, and some of them don't.
What a scheme. Well, I don't know. Good luck, but keep driving it the way you want to drive it. And tell him that if it breaks, you're going to expect him to fix it for free.
Yeah. Okay. Or go somewhere else, because this price is way too low.
All right.
You're not getting a rebuilt transmission for any $800.
You're getting a cleaned one.
Yeah.
See you, Mike.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Patty from Richmond, Virginia.
What's up?
Well, my problem has to do with my mechanic.
Yeah, they could be a problem.
Well, this guy is actually, he is a great guy. He works hard. He's taken care of my car for years and years. And the problem is that he likes me.
Oh.
Like, really likes me.
Okay? And?
So, my question is how, you know, do I maintain a professional relationship with him, but, you know, keep him from hitting on me?
But you know he's hitting on you.
Well,
women know.
Well, how do you know?
How do I know?
How do you know?
Well, when he like stares deep into my eyes, unless I avert them, and he says, "Oh God, you're so beautiful today."
Oh, I wouldn't let that.
Is this just before he gives you the bill?
No, it's first thing when I take my car in.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have any such feelings toward him?
No. I mean, I'm married.
Oh, does he know that?
Yeah, I've taken my husband in with me.
How big is your husband?
Bigger than I am.
Is he bigger than the mechanic?
Yeah, it doesn't deter him. He tells my husband how beautiful I am.
It could be that he's one of these guys that tells all women that they're beautiful.
No, he doesn't. I've been in the airport.
You have?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it could. There are lots of men who make it a habit to say, aren't you beautiful? But they don't really mean it.
No, but...
And there's
you know
nothing
what?
Behind it.
A woman... I think most women will bear me out on this. That most women's radar gets turned on...
Yeah.
...when guys are hitting on them. That they, you know the difference between some guy giving you a cursory compliment.
Yeah.
Like, wow,
yeah.
You look nice today, Patty.
Yeah.
And some guy saying... You look nice today. The voice drops at least an octave. You look nice today, Frank.
You know, let's give women's intuition, you know, credit.
Yeah, no, I am. I'm giving women's intuition credit. So
yeah.
We believe you.
But anyway, he's a great guy, and you know, I don't want to go riding on his motorcycle with him. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's offered though, hasn't he?
Yeah.
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 Well, you could convince him that you're going to become a nun.
Yeah, I thought about that.
Or maybe you could convince him that you're considering a sex change operation.
Oh, I think that would really deter it. What's number three?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, the simplest thing, obviously, would be to have your husband take the car in.
Yeah.
Sure,
It may just be, what's your husband's name?
It's Sam.
Sam. I mean, he may stare into Sam's eyes. Sam, you look beautiful.
Love that short skirt, Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think?
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose you could just tell him that it makes you uncomfortable And that you're considering, you're considering, even though he's a wonderful mechanic, you're considering not coming there for a service anymore. You could try the direct approach.
Yeah, that's true. That's honesty is usually best.
Oh,
yeah.
Gee, honesty. It never occurred to me.
What concept?
Sure. I mean, yeah. I suppose. I mean, I can see the conversation now. You say, gee, Jim, thanks for telling me that I look beautiful, but I have to tell you that I'm uncomfortable with this. I'm a married woman. And if you're just toying with me, then fine. I'll never speak to you again.
I knew you were going to break my heart. Listen, beginning to look like you're on your own here, Betty.
I think it's fun talking about it.
Yeah, I think you just have to take the direct approach and tell him that you appreciate all the good work he's done and you love coming there because he's such a nice guy. But it's
making, and a great mechanic.
And a great mechanic.
And especially a great mechanic.
Absolutely.
But,
you know. It's making you uncomfortable.
He can't stare into your baby blue eyes anymore. It's over.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Okay. Good luck, Patty.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Y'all take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, boy, that's a toughie.
I guess so. All right. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Chris Cuff and Emily Mackey. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Eau Claire, braised hair, poached pear, sole meuniere, haricot vert, pomme de terre, and chocolate eclair food fair, is John Bugsy Lawler. He's getting hotter every week. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our table saw operator is Les Digits. Our chicken soup provisioner is Kent Hoyt. Tom's beard cleaner is Emil in itself. Our Russian chauffeur is Beekoff and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to, of course, our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Royal Payne Diaz. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the jubilant high-fiving parents dropping off their freshmen in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and Don't Drive Like My Brother.
And I've got a suggestion.
Yes.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1036, take a stroll through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, a rare opportunity to buy one of my old cars.
Yeah, I mean rare because most of them have been shipped out to South Korea as scrap metal and returned as Zippo lighters.
Well, there's apparently one that's still on the road and it's coming up for sale.
It's true, folks. Actually, it's one of my brother's previous Fiats, a 79, 2 years newer than the jalopy he has now. A 79 Fiat 2000 Spider. It's currently residing in Chicago and it's being auctioned off by the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program to raise money for member station WBEZ.
Hey, maybe I'll bid on it.
I think the car just shivered.
Check out the details.
One of Tommy's old heaps is for sale. Check it out this week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though listeners hope the recall of bad eggs includes us whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.